Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And we will be talking about Once Upon a Time, the wonderful television show. Mm-hmm. And before I go any farther, I do want to say that it is Saturday night, October 20th, 2012. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
I did it.
Yes, you did.
I said the date.
You did.
I'm still Jeff Roney.
Did you
Roney.
Say October 20th?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. For a minute, I thought you said October 12th. I don't know why, but anyway.
She's knitting, and when she knits, her mind wanders around. So anyhow, I'm still Jeff Roney, and this is my lovely wife, Colleen Roney.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And, yeah, so she had another late work little mm-hmm. party last
Third
night.
Third week in a row.
So it's been fantastic.
But that's, they're done for the month of October. So, woohoo, I have a little bit of breathing room until January.
Okay. That sounds excellent. So really quick, I did want to say that we spent a little time wishing our good friend Daniel Hale happy birthday.
Yep. It was actually a couple days ago, but we celebrated today, which was cool.
We celebrated today over at Trader Sam's at mm-hmm. the Disneyland Hotel.
That was a blast.
And
Daniel is one of the hosts of
the Diz Geek podcast.
Yes. So if you like Disney, go check them out.
And the website address is DizGeekPodcast.com.
And by the way, he was at our meetup, for those who were there.
That
you
is
probably
correct.
Met him on Saturday and a little bit on Sunday. But more importantly, he was known for, at the meetup, he'd never watched Once Upon a Time.
Right.
Which was hilarious because, you know, he's a friend of ours and we wanted him to kind of host a meetup and give him a shot to, you know, promote his podcast. We want to support that. But he hadn't watched the show. After talking to us and everybody at the meetup and how great it was, he said, it came out on Netflix. I'm watching it. He's like one episode behind right now. So he's totally, totally a huge fan now. He loves Once Upon a Time. He's totally on board and he's awesome. We love him to pieces. So
we
converted him.
And I didn't threaten him at all.
No.
So
no.
Anyhow, so happy birthday to Daniel. It was really nice seeing Tommy again and his wife and Chris and Daniel's wife and Mr. Paul Berry was there.
Yep.
So
it was
really nice.
It was a blast.
A nice little get together. I did have an adult beverage, but I think I'm okay now. At the time, I was not, and I was kind of concerned that.
Really?
Yeah,
you didn't have. Well, you drank most of yours, though, didn't you?
Look, man, I don't.
You
drink a lot.
I
don't.
I know.
And I thought I was going to start calling people on Skype, and I thought I was going to go a little off, but I did not.
No, you didn't. And
so
I didn't get anywhere near drunk. I totally sipped mine, and then I switched over to Diet Coke because I couldn't hack. It was, dude, Trader Sam's. Okay, it's really fun, but dang, they're. Drinks are way stronger than they need to be. So if you're ordering a mixed drink, just prepare and probably tell them to dial it back a little bit because it's pretty potent.
Yes. And so, all right. So that was fantastic. And let's switch gears and let's talk kind of let's geek out a little bit about Once Upon a Time and the future. So I did want to go through what?
Nothing.
Okay. So tomorrow's episode is called The Crocodile. And a lot of this information, some may consider spoilers, but I don't think so. So I think we'll kind of move forward. October 28th, we have the next episode. It's called The Doctor. And not Doctor Who. Just no, calm down, just... everybody. Doctor Who. Not that. It's not a crossover episode or something. So, and then November 4th, 2012, episode called Tallahassee.
Yeah.
November 11th, 2012, we have an episode called Child of the Moon. And then there's two other episodes. There's another one called Into the Deep. We have no date announced at this time for that. So there may be a hiatus or mini hiatus or something. We don't know as yet. Then the next episode is called The Queen of Hearts. So we don't have a date for that as well. So obviously that's probably going to be the one where the big reveal is going to happen. So I thought it would be later in the season, but you know, we had some pretty big reveals in the mid season of season one.
Yeah, we did.
So anyhow.
And that's good because there's a lot to reveal, man.
I mean, The Huntsman was pretty huge.
Huntsman was massively huge.
Yep.
So, there were a ton of reveals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so that's good because there's still a ton more for them to do.
Right, but they set you up at the beginning to kind of for that mid area.
Right, right, yeah.
And
yeah, keep your interest.
So, yeah. And it was funny. I was watching a couple of the earlier season one episodes, and I saw Dr. Whale talking to Mary Margaret at Granny's, and I said, you know, it's interesting. He was just kind of there, but he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I guess it would be interesting to kind of go through his lines and kind of see what we can, you know, divine from them about his character and the future. But, you know, I think they did it murky enough that you never know. I think we've seen more stuff.
Obvious.
I think we've seen more stuff about his true identity in this season than we did in season one. That's just my opinion.
Probably.
So, because he really has come out swinging. So, anyhow.
Yes, he has.
So, okay. So, the first three episodes of season two, let's kind of talk about the viewership. Okay. So, Broken, episode one, season two, was 11.36 million viewers. So, season two, episode two, we are both was 9.84, so a bit of a drop. And then we have Lady of the Lake was 9.45. So we're dropping a bit. And what I did want to do is I looked up the the numbers for season one, and the pilot was 12.93 million viewers, and then it dropped to 11.74. So and then it kind of slid down to 8.92 for The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and then Desperate Souls, it jumped back up to 10.35, and then it was back around 9.9 up to 10. So it was kind of, and it was in the eights for the last six or seven episodes. So anyway, just kind of want to, people are kind of getting nervous. And, you know, we got a season two out of 8 million viewers an episode for that last, you know, section.
Right.
So I think everyone should just kind of relax. You know, obviously we want to do what we can. And I think we are. I mean, I hear tweets about people talking, people about, you know, my manager's watching Once Upon a Time, you know, Daniel Hale. The center of the podcasting universe and the Diz Geek podcast is now watching Once Upon a Time. So, and I think also that it's on Netflix now, that maybe people that, you know, maybe didn't want to buy the Blu-ray, but maybe wanted to try it out, and they're already paying $7 a month for Netflix, that they can kind of try it out and see if they like it. And if they get hooked, obviously, they'll come and listen to our podcast, of course, and watch the show.
Yeah.
So, that is that. I also want to let you guys know that there is an iPhone and iPad app. It's the ABC TV player. And you have to have the iOS 5 and above.
You mean 6?
5 and above.
Oh, 5 and above. Okay, well, great.
To use it.
Great.
And what's nice about it is the first two episodes, at least from season 2, are on that. And you can play it.
Nice.
So just for the folks maybe that have an iPhone, that maybe don't have DVR. You know what's interesting is a lot of times you think about the whole world is just like you. You know, you have DVR and you kind of think everybody else has DVR. But a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
You know, and people live in all different parts of the world and maybe they don't have it. So anyway, that's where we kind of let people know that there's a lot of different ways that you can watch it.
Check it out.
So, of course, the website. But then, you know, sometimes the website in other countries and other places don't.
It doesn't work.
Play it.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
All right. And let's see, that's that. And I've been focusing a lot more on our Facebook page lately and just trying to generate more interest in other platforms. So Facebook is something that I did. I did a couple of fun things with photos from the show. I cut out certain portions and I said, who is this person? And also then I cut out a portion of a picture and I said, what is this from? So I kind of did a back and forth thing and little quizzes here and there. And also I did a fun what's cool about Once Upon a Time. And I said a granny that can shoot a crossbow is pretty cool.
Yep.
Ruby that can change into a wolf will really cut down on her stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of fun things. So that's at Facebook. Anyway, Wayne said it at the beginning, so it's good. It's there. And I think most people that are listening are already part of our Facebook group. So
yep,
that's pretty cool. And so we have a number of emails and we have a number of voicemails. And I just wanted to let folks know there are some questions, and I kind of want to just say it now and kind of let folks know that nothing is forever. Nothing is always the same. The only thing that's constant in life is change.
Yep.
So the deputies and I had some discussions, and we've come to mutual decision that they were free to move on to whatever they like to do. So that was a decision. So the Twitter account and all the Facebook will be vacated. And that's it.
Yep.
So I thank them all for their work. So much cool stuff along the way. And I wish them the best in the future. So I just wanted to officially say that.
Yes. That is, yeah. That is what it is.
And I'm still not knitting.
I
don't know that I'll ever knit, but you love it.
I do.
I
not
really in the summertime because you say it's so.
No, it's too hot to knit in the summertime.
Yep. All right, so let me bring up the emails. Oh, and I want to say a little shout out to Janelle. Hi, Janelle. And she did a little jokey joke in the Facebook post about August, so and I'm not going to say what it is, but
no.
I'll let people go to the Facebook and check it out. She was kind of naughty, but you know, anyway, it was
so
sort of funny.
If you're over 18, you can go check it out.
Yeah, well, you can't be. Yeah, anyways, alrighty, so let's go to this email. This is from Chris. It says, hi everyone. There was a nice reference to the animated film Mulan in Lady of the Lake. As Mulan, Emma, and Snow were arming themselves, Mulan was giving instructions, and she included the line, do exactly as I say and you might survive. And in the movie, as they are training, they sing a song entitled I'll Make a Man Out of You, and the song is sung by Mulan's drill sergeant, for lack of a better term. And the one line in the song is, heed my every order and you might survive.
Yep.
So it seems like Mulan is passing on the same advice that she got when she was training. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
and
very good point.
That's exactly true.
I missed that, actually, the first time, but that's really cool because that is true.
But see, that's the
point. It's a great song. You just played it.
That's really the point of this. You know, when you do a podcast for a long time, you kind of, you know, you listen to other podcasts and you kind of go, well, you know, we don't do that and whatever. But I think it's like sushi. I think it's like anything else. It's just a flavor. And I think people have different tastes, and that's just the way it is, you know. And but I think we come at Once Upon a Time in a different kind of a manner. And, you know, we bring a lot of pop culture stuff, and I bring a lot of movie stuff and story stuff. And I think we look at it differently. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, the listeners are a part of what we do. I've said this from the very beginning. And yep. So that's why it's cool to get emails like this that we may have missed something.
Yeah.
But all of us together, we catch it all. So that's what's a really cool and exciting part.
Yep. I agree.
So we will continue on. Oh, she sent. Okay, cool. All right. She sent a download of an audio feedback and Gmail scanning for viruses.
Super.
So I'll let it scan. See how we okay. There it is. Okay, so we'll download and try this here. Sorry if it's too loud.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Heather Grimm from Maryland. It's been a while since I called, but life got a little crazy, and it's finally kind of getting back to normal. So I just wanted to call with a couple of random thoughts I had about the first couple episodes of this season. And really, they pretty much all come from the first two episodes, because the only thing I could think the entire third episode was, oh my god, this show is amazing. Oh my god, this show is amazing. So the first thing I was thinking about is, you know, Rumpel now has this no interference pact with Charming, and we already know he's got a favor from Emma, and I'm starting to wonder if maybe he will get something along those lines worked out with Snow, Mary Margaret, and what if it came to, in order to get back Bay, he has to somehow do something to Henry. And then nobody in the Charming family will be able to interfere because they've all got their hands tied. So maybe Regina can come in and save the day and kind of complete her nice redemption that she's got going on right now. Second kind of thing.
What do you think?
So we're thinking, she's thinking, if I understood correctly, because I think I misunderstood a little bit, but I think that she said she's thinking that maybe the favor that Emma owes Rumpel or Gold is going to be to help him get Bay back, which would require some sort of sacrifice of Henry. Did I misunderstand that?
No. I think what she's saying is that that Gold is getting basically deals, but not calling them deals, with Charming and then maybe with Snow, so that if he does, perhaps to get back at Regina, obtain Henry, that there will be no interference from them.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
or something like that, and then that Regina will come in and save the day and redeem herself by that act. So.
Huh.
You know, but you bring up a good point with Emma being maybe saving that favor for something with Bay.
something really big, huge.
Yeah, it'd be a huge thing. I mean, he wouldn't, like he even said, he goes, I'm certainly not going to waste it on half a sandwich.
Yes.
Yep. That was back in Desperate Souls.
Yep.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, and I don't know if I said it on the show. I think maybe we were talking about it. If I did say it before, I'm sorry. I wonder if that maybe, because in Lost, and I know I'm talking about Lost again, but in Lost, when they had that lockdown time when the door shut inside of the hatch, there was that map that was revealed of the island and all the different places, the other hatches on the island. And I wonder if somewhere Gold and or Rumpelstiltskin has drawn out this elaborate plan from the beginning of all these different things that he had to do, you know, enrolling Cora, enrolling Regina, and all these different things, because we know, I mean, he even said, he says, like, somebody asked him, well, aren't you behind all this? He goes, I usually am. So, you know, I'm thinking that'd be interesting to find if it was written down somewhere, you know, maybe a book or somewhere. But, yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, did he write it down somewhere? But remember when he was looking for Ava and Nicholas's father's name
right,
on the card?
Right.
There's nothing there. He had it all in his head.
Okay. Or maybe only he sees it. And that's I remember, okay. Because I don't think I mentioned it on the show yet.
Nope,
so
we haven't.
I don't think I. Because I'm getting old and I tell stories twice. And I'm rambling. I'm sorry. I'll play the rest of it.
Okay.
Sorry, Heather. Here we go.
You know, we've got this protected, this seemingly protected kind of fairy tale land. And I'm guessing that maybe that was what the fairies were talking about when they said they had to go and make their final preparations before the curse was enacted. Maybe they managed to kind of section off an area of the fairy tale world, and that's why those people were safe, is because they just happened to be within the borders of what the fairies had managed to safeguard.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I completely didn't even pick up on that either.
And you know, there's little things that you hear along the way, and you kind of go, yeah, okay, and you just move on to something else.
Right,
but it's really cool that certain things that, you know, like Heather pick up on that, and maybe that is part of their job, to create a safe haven.
Yeah, maybe that was what they were doing.
So yeah, I think that's very within the realm of what we're talking about. But I kind of get the idea that magic wasn't there. Even from the very beginning, when they start talking about this safe haven place, it was almost like it was kind of another storybook. Because they said they were protected, but they were, I don't know. I just,
Cora has magic, though.
I understand. And that's what I was, but maybe she's hid it all this time. And she didn't want to use it until, again, Emma shows up. And then when Emma shows up.
How would she know Emma would show up?
I'm just saying, though. I mean, that's the only.
And that's what I'm asking, is I don't think that that's a feasibility. I think she's had it all along. I think she's been using it all along. I think she's blinded everyone to what's going on.
Well, but what I'm saying is when Emma shows up, that's when there's a tremor in the force, quote unquote, and things start to happen, right? Because up to the point in Storybrook, until Emma showed up, really it was kind of like business as usual. And then, you know, Gold hears Emma. It's like, oh, okay, what a lovely name. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's on. So, all right. Here we go. More with Heather. Thanks.
This third thing is probably the craziest and least likely to be true, but nevertheless, it came to mind when Dr. Whale was talking to Prince Charming and saying, "You're not my prince." I had this really crazy thought that maybe he's saying that because, in actuality, he was that pesky little mermaid, and like Ursula was able to do in the Disney movie, Regina transformed him or her into a him. And, you know, it kind of ties in with that whale name. But it really doesn't explain why he is so girl crazy. So, like I said, least likely to happen. And here's another fun thought on that. When Dr.
Anything is possible. Sure. Anything's on the table.
Anything's on the table. I'm not sure I would arrive at that same conclusion, but
well,
anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And the term whale, I mean, they could go way off and it could be something completely different. I mean, the only sidestep I ever took with that was that whale might have been the wolf's whale. But you know what I mean? So it's just the spelling was different or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could go totally different. No whale, no sea, no anything kind of connection,
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. Completely different.
You know, I did look at the promo from the first week, and I did see something that is a possibility, but it's not a... Anyway. But I think there's MacGuffins. I think there's little trick things that they're throwing out everywhere to lead you down all these different mm-hmm. paths. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fun. So, sure. You know, like I said before, there's really no right or wrong. It's just, it's fun. Have fun with that. So, if we got a Little Mermaid, then the writers, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Love is everywhere. Love is in the air. I don't know. So, you know, maybe in this human form, just, you know, I don't know. So,
I think we'll see soon enough.
Yeah. All right, here is the rest of the voicemail.
I was talking to Prince Charming about, are the nuns still nuns? Can they date? And then I had a thought that perhaps Dr. Whale is really just Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother. That's definitely not going to happen.
That's funny. Barney from... Hello?
Yes.
Barney from How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Maybe that's who it is. All grown up.
No, I don't think it's Barney Stinson.
Because as he would say, that would be legend.
Wait for it.
Dairy.
I hope you're not lactose intolerant, because that would be legendary.
Okay. We continue.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no.
But something that came to mind anyway. Okay, so back to serious stuff. The barrier around Storybrooke, I'm thinking that perhaps it is not part of the curse. And we know that, of course, magic works in different ways here in the real world. And perhaps it is something that actually the real, a magical world is imposing upon the magic. Could it be trying to contain it, to keep it from spreading out into this world where it's not supposed to be? And then this last thing is really just a...
That's a great thought. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of quarantining or containing it.
Yeah. I still am going with the barrier spell. I still think it has to do with Korra's barrier spell.
Okay. Right.
That's just, or part of the big, bad, awful curse itself.
Well,
and I don't think Rumple would have put that in there, so that's why I'm saying I think it's a barrier spell. And I think it's Korra's doing, not Rumple's.
Well, I think it's just,
that's just my opinion.
Well, it's another thing, too, is maybe it is, did we see magic used in other realms?
We haven't seen any other realms other than Wonderland.
Agrabah?
We didn't see Agrabah.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
We heard about it.
I guess meant the snakes and stuff. The
two-headed snakes.
But. Okay, so Wonderland, we did see the shrinking, but maybe that was because of the drink and
right, that's
cake
the drink
stuff.
Me, eat me stuff.
Huh.
Potions and cakes. Yeah.
Okay. So. Anyway, I was just thinking...
I mean, it is pretty magic that, he got his head chopped off and still managed to get it back on and could talk.
Right. Huh.
So, I mean, I guess that's sort of magical, but I don't. It's not what I would consider real magic. I'm sure there's some explanation for it.
Okay.
One little tidbit. I noticed Aurora's dress is a light purple, which means that it is both pink and blue. And so instead of ruining her dress and having it splotched part pink, part blue, it seems her fairy godmothers came to a compromise and just made it purple. Everybody wins. Okay, that's it for now. Thanks for all you do, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Heather, so much.
Yeah.
So, and I remember you, you're asleep. What was the one that had the two different colors of dresses that you always said?
Sleeping Beauty.
Okay. So Sleeping Beauty had the two different.
Well, that's because one of the fairies wanted it pink. The other one wanted it blue.
Okay.
And the fact is I'm a blue dress girl.
Okay. All right.
The pink is lovely. Don't get me wrong. But I think it should be blue.
Okay. Fair enough. The blue dress lover has spoken.
Yep.
All right. Thanks again, Heather, for that. Man. This email is from Sarah Harty up in the Great White North that isn't white yet, but possibly soon.
Yeah, give it a couple months. I bet
it's getting chilly, but it's not.
Ooh, yeah.
Snow yet. Hi, all. Sarah here. Wanted to write you guys. Sad I haven't been able to make your last few podcasts. Been extremely busy the last few weeks. Hopefully, I'll be able to make this week's show. So, sad event took place this week. It was the official end to Vancouver's four-month-long dry streak. Feel sorry for all the cast that have to work 16 hours in the woods when it's all muddy and gross. While I hibernate on my couch. Don't really have words to describe the first few episodes, which is a good thing. Some highlights for me were the reunion scene, perfect, the Dementors, and Lancelot. I think my favorite character list has grew a bit. Lana deserves an Emmy for episode 2, just saying. The majority of Lady of the Lake was filmed in Stanley Park. Really? Because...
We took
a little tour,
yeah.
and we were discussing something with the folks that were there, and they were saying that Stanley Park is great, and it really is great. I mean,
it's
a couple
beautiful.
Of the areas I looked at, I said, this looks exactly like where Jefferson and Grace were running around, and it really had the moss growing on the... on the archway branches, and it really was pretty. But we were talking, and the fact of the matter is that it's hard to shoot at night there.
Yes.
And it's hard to shoot anytime there because there's so many people coming through, and it's difficult. So I'm surprised that they filmed there because it's a lot of stuff. So anyway, we were there. Very cool.
Yeah.
Because usually they film way up in the boonies there in the hills and stuff. So where it's hard for people... like us to find. So, and she goes on. And I was lucky to be in the area one of the days and get to walk through the camp set. See them prep to film some of the wagon scenes and pet the famous Once Upon a Time horses. I don't know if there's any pictures of this online, but the trailer that the horses travel has this big Once Upon a Time design on the side.
Well, that's cool.
They sure ride in style. So this week's episode is the one I've been looking forward to. Captain Hook, Collins also hot, which is a bonus. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you, dude, he's a hot little slice of something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Robert is not pleased because he thought he had your heart. But,
he still has my heart. But plus, trust me, there's room for Colin as well.
Good Lord. All right, then. Well, I can't
Might
complain.
Might even be a little room for Josh now,
I can't
too.
Complain too much. Josh was a very charming gentleman. He really was.
He is adorable. Absolutely adorable.
Yep.
He's wonderful. We love him. But I'm also actually liking the character now a little more.
Okay. All right.
He drove me nuts in season one because he was so... But he even said it himself.
Yeah.
He was weak and confused.
Yes,
not weak and confused anymore. Yay.
No. So I will continue. We were in Steveston a couple of weeks ago hanging out and hoping to see Hook's ship because it has sailed out for some open sea filming that morning. The ship was awesome. Well, I guess being captained by Hook would make any ship awesome, but it became even more awesome when we figured out where we'd seen it before. Fun fact, the ship was used for Captain Hook is the same ship that played the Interceptor in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Really?
The one Captain Jack Sparrow commanded from the British Navy. The real name is the Lady Washington. Be sure to pay close attention in tomorrow's episode. I know I'm excited.
Me too.
Now,
because that has the best... Okay, so there's one actual, like a split second of a shot of Jack on the deck of the Interceptor when he and Orlando get on it, and all of a sudden he says something about those guys back there, and Johnny has his gun on his shoulder, turns and looks at the camera, and gives this just smile. And I'm like, freeze frame that. I need that, like, always.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm thrilled about that. That's awesome.
Now, I do. There was something, a discussion about Steveston kind of fitting the harbor for tall ships. I remember there was a discussion that we had when we were there.
Interesting.
And so that makes perfect sense. Now, previously we did hear... A while back, one of our bluebirds sent a message that they were filming some of the ships for Once Upon a Time in Britannia Beach. So, and I believe now there's pictures that have been taken of further filming there.
Sure.
So it looks like there's two different areas. Plus, we got a Soyuz, and there's really a lot of different places. And it's really tough because in episode one, there was a lot of Storybrooke.
Right.
But now it's pretty tough to find, you know, just to think that you can go there and meet anyone you want to. It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So, I mean, Mark Davis is up there right now, and he's like shuttling. He had a short amount of time, and he was shuttling back and forth. And the folks, I think Sarah and Larry were at Deer Park around there, and they saw Colin and some filming, and then Mark went over and met some folks, and it's just it keeps you on your toes. There's a lot of stuff going on. So anyhow, I continue. I'm incredibly grateful I had the chance to visit so many of the sets from the first few episodes and meet so many fans over the last few months, some coming as far as France just to watch their favorite show being filmed. I'm not able to visit the sets as much now with school, work, etc., but I've still been getting down there pretty frequently. Not visiting the sets all the time necessarily is a bad thing either. A few of us local fans have realized the episodes aren't as much fun to watch if we know exactly what's going on, exactly what's going to happen, and what all the big reveals are will be ahead of time. A bunch of Evil Regals visited Vancouver this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun meeting fans that love the show as much as I do. However, I still think it's kind of odd how like 99% of all fans that visit here are Evil Regals. That's not, I mean, well, I guess we're the 1%.
Well, yeah.
Because we love everybody.
Right.
So
right.
There you go. LOL. Shout out to Luli. Had fun hanging in Storybrooke with her. I hope everyone is well and that I will be able to make more of the shows coming up. I miss my Onceer buddies. Like always, thanks, Jeff and Colleen, for hosting the show. Big love, everyone. Sarah Harty. So thank you so much, Sarah.
Hey.
Excellent, excellent. So we will do this, and we will do this. So how many folks we got in the chat room?
Well, let's see. We have 10 people that are 17 people that I do know who they are because I can see their names, and 10 guests in the chat room who are unknown to me.
So it could be a number of anybody's. So I will continue on here. All right. This is from Heather. And these are further thoughts she has. So here's some more likely, a.k.a. serious thoughts on Dr. Whale. I heard the actor gave an interview where he said no one's, or at least very few people, have correctly guessed his character. But Adam and Eddie had clues and have been in there all along and reinforced, referenced his... reference his true self. Some of the words are kind of spoilery. I've seen them other places, so I'll leave them out. Sorry, Heather. So maybe he's something more along the lines of King Triton. Okay? There you go. So anyhow, or something from Greek or Roman mythology. I kind of toe-tapped around that. So thank you so much, Heather, for that. And you could be true. The whole Greek part, we didn't really realize that was all part of it until, like, Midas showed up and all that.
Right.
And so then we realized it was bigger. And then actually in a lot of the interviews, some of the stories are not even going to be stories in the U.S. or Britain or, stories outside of... So this will be very, very interesting. We'll be reading stories we've never even thought about before.
Right.
All right. Let's see. This is from Obi's girl. And let's see here. Dun, dun, dun. There's a lot going on. What's happening? Storybook, fairy tale, before the curse in present day fairy tale land. Now we know how Snow knew in the pilot that she was going to have a girl, Ruth's necklace that was blessed by Gypsy, maybe Esmeralda. And yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah, that's what
I thought.
The
only kind of, and I think you mentioned it maybe in
I did. I don't know if I mentioned it in the first thoughts, but I definitely mentioned it to you.
Okay.
When we were sitting there.
Yep, and that's the only Gypsy that is pretty prevalent in any type of fairy tale or Disney film
that we know of.
Right.
There could be some other from other countries. Romania has a history of gypsies.
Yep.
So there could be a Romanian fairy tale we just don't know about. But, yeah.
All right. I like Lancelot's introduction until we found out later that Cora killed him and has been masquerading as him. I hope he's really not dead. But then again, on the show, dead means dead. Oh, I don't know. We'll see.
And we can't trust her because she lies.
Cora, yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm saying. Cora lies. So I'm not holding to the... She said she killed him, but remember Regina, her own mother, said that Belle was dead too. So I don't trust that Cora was telling the truth.
Well,
Regina told Rumpel that Belle was dead.
I know, but Regina... You said Regina, her own mother. Regina was...
No, I said... And besides, Regina... Got it from Regina,
right,
like Regina, and remember, this is her own mother, Cora.
Yes. Got it. Okay.
Sorry, is my margarita slipping out?
I
again?
Think it's coming back on you. All right, so
it's not.
I'm a little confused about something. After King George poisoned Snow White, so she can't have any kids with James in the future. How come she didn't tell Charming about what his father did? Okay.
Why didn't she tell him? Well, I don't think she had much of an opportunity, and I think she was torn, honestly. I think she was really torn because she loved him so much. She wanted to marry him. And, if she told him, he'd say, it doesn't matter. And the sad fact is that, a lot of women do get this in their heads that if they can't have kids, then the men won't want them. And I know that this is the case in summary. I can't even talk right now. In reality, it does happen. My cousin, his first wife, divorced him because she found out she couldn't have kids. And not because she didn't love him anymore. She just couldn't find out. She found out she couldn't have kids, and she didn't want him to go through life without children. And so she just made the decision for him and divorced him. And it was tragic because he loved her, and I know she loved him, but she gave him up. She sacrificed his happiness. You know, he did find somebody else, and they have kids, and he's happy. But, you know, I mean, the sad thing is that if she had told him, you know, I don't know if that would have made a difference. I don't know if he would have just said, you know, what was going on. But once she found out, you know, what do you do? So I think that's what was going on, is that, you know, she didn't want to tell him because she didn't want to break his heart. Didn't want to, you know, leave him with the thought of, here he is, you know, kind of stuck with her. Went through all this hell and back, and he can't have kids with her?
Yeah.
It's a female thing.
For a second, though, I thought that he was lying. Because we've seen that in a lot of times with Lost, where someone will say something, and people will kind of go with it. I even mentioned it last live show, I believe, is that they're really playing from the Lost deck now, in that they're splitting up the group. So that when one thing happens in one realm, they aren't readily available to tell everybody else in the full group. So let's say all the good guys are split up. So if there's something bad that happens on one side, they're not able to communicate to the other side so that everybody knows. So,
right, right.
So, you know, it's kind of it's a writing trick. And, you know, not a trick. It's just, it's a device.
It's a device.
So,
and here's the thing with lying. If you say something in a whisper, people tend to believe you because it sounds important. And especially if you say it with any kind of force, that makes it true.
But the only reason that I would say
it's weird, but it's the case.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the case.
The only situation where I'd say that it obviously was the truth was because of Ruth's
amulet,
right? Mm-hmm. Because it didn't work, and then it did work.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. And but I just, because I couldn't, there for a second, when Lancelot gave her that water, I was like, man, what's that guy doing? You know, I mean, obviously he's under, you know, the King George's command.
Right.
But I was like, what are you doing? You know? But then he switched it around and did the good thing. So he redeemed himself from that situation.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway, I will continue. I love the interaction between Snow White and Ruth and Emma's speech to Snow in the nursery. Seriously, first time I've cried at a once episode. Lots of feels during this one. And what I really love about the writing of Once Upon a Time is I think sometimes in other situations, the writers have to basically force your face to see something or really kind of seriously elementary walk you through something so that you get it. Otherwise, you won't get it. But I love the way they treat us like we're intelligent, and they kind of allude to something or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love that we have to think a little bit, but it engages us. So, but I did love that whole flash view of it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now. So, yeah, it was and the whole putting the child first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are themes, obviously, that just resonate with women. Really quick, we're almost done with hour one here. But I remember watching episode 3, Star Wars episode 3,
mm-hmm.
with a couple of folks from work. And the lady in our group, when they had Padme out in her the funeral procession,
right,
I didn't catch it because I was just the flowers, and it was pretty, and it was nice, and it was moving, and she goes, they made her look pregnant.
Yeah.
See, I didn't catch that. And see, that's what's cool about females and males watching shows like this, because you'll catch something that I won't, and vice versa.
Right.
You know, so it all gets back to the writing of the show, too, because they'll throw things out that maybe I won't catch as a man,
mm-hmm.
or these really deep feelings of, you know, putting the child first, or sacrifice, a mom sacrificing herself. You know, these are really deep themes, but I think they resonate deeper with women. And
I can honestly say yes. So. Yes. Because there's something about being a mother, and no, we don't have any children, but I actually do have an experience that I can say that, you know, when you know that you're going to have a child, when you have a child, I've heard enough people say this, your whole world changes. Mm. You're willing to do things you would never do before.
Yeah.
My best friend, growing up when she had her first kid, you know, I had a dog and he got sick, car sick from, and I think it may have either been car sick, but he also had gone, I'd taken him to the vet for something and he got sick in the car and I stopped at her house cause it was real close by. And I was, can you get me some stuff to clean the car out? Can you put him in the house? I don't know. And I freaked out and she goes, go, I'll take care of this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why would you do that? And she goes, it's not a big deal. And I go, it's dog throw up. It's disgusting. She goes, I have kids. and she says, trust me, when you're a mom, you'll do anything for your kid. Mm. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that that's the thing is that, yeah, it is just, it's interesting.
Well, you know, and this is such a great show for this type of setup. Is, you know, that's why we call it a fan podcast, because everyone's view of this is different and we all catch something different. And that's why these voicemails are so important and the emails are right. So important, mm-hmm. And the chat and all this together gives us a full scope, because even if I scrutinize every frame, I'll miss something that you'll catch right away. Mm-hmm. You'll say, oh, that's obvious. It's right there. I looked at it forever. I didn't see it. So that's the beauty of it. So
Yep. That's
why we really appreciate all the voicemails and the emails. They really do add so much to it. So last question. Does George in Storybrooke think that Henry is James's son?
Say that again.
Does George in Storybrooke think that Henry is James's son?
Oh, well, that's an interesting point. I don't know. Because, yeah, where was he for the wedding?
Right.
Did he know about... He didn't know about the baby after Emma was born. Would he assume that Henry is his son, maybe? Maybe he will, you know, maybe he does. That's an interesting, very, very interesting point.
Yeah, just, you know, the only person that we know was en route was that mysterious man from New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks always girls so much for that email.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we are going to end hour one, the main show. And I'm going to say a big love to everybody. Take care of yourself. Take care of those around you. I thank you so much for downloading this, for interacting on Twitter, for sending in a voicemail or email or whatever. Thank you so much for that. And we'll talk at you soon. And tomorrow, once Sunday again. So we'll be talking at you soon. First thoughts tomorrow. Don't forget. See ya.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.